Welcome to My BFF. At Mom Your Business, we are serious about helping and celebrating Black female entrepreneurs. We're on a mission to move Black female founders from bootstrapping to bankability. For too long, Black female founders have gone unnoticed. We are 50% of all entrepreneurs, yet the least funded. Black female founders are everywhere. We're your store owners, your hairdressers, your fashionistas, manufacturers, wives, mothers, and so much more. So if you are serious about supporting Black women, listen to each episode, share their stories, buy their products, and be sure to follow them on social media. Visit our website and donate to Founders to Funders, where we are rewriting the narrative of Black female founders. On today's show, we will be talking with Whitney L. Barkley, the founder of Love Yours Stationery, which specializes in inclusive and non-traditional greeting cards and paper products. In her free time, she is a certified SWERC instructor, which I gotta find out what that is, teaching hip-hop dance fitness, and enjoys traveling the world. Whitney is the CEO of Speakereasy, a content marketing firm that caters to authors, coaches, speakers, and small businesses across the country. She is also an author and host of the self-help podcast, Pink Lemonade Podcast, which has been downloaded in over 50 countries and has over 75,000 downloads. So good afternoon, Whitney, and welcome to My BFF.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
So Whitney, we want to get started with our first question, which is for you to tell us who you are and why you do what you do.
Wow. This is always an interesting question for me. It always depends on where I am, how I answer it. And for me, as you mentioned, I'm the CEO and founder of Love Your Stationery. My journey with stationery started when I was 8 years old. I was always fascinated with paper products. I always thought there was power in paper because when you write things down, that's truly how you're able to manifest. So I got interested in paper. I was designing, I was hustling for my family. So I was selling paper products to them for 50 cents, 75 cents, little notepads and things that I would create. And then I kind of just got away from that as I got older and I started to kind of look at what the work environment looked like. Entrepreneurship wasn't sexy to me. My dad was a business owner since I was 8 years old. And I thought all it was, hey, you have to code switch and be somebody else, or you have to be on the phone all the time, or you always have to spend time away from your family. So in my head, I had always associated entrepreneurship with something that was negative. So, you know, I went to school and I tried to have that checkbox career, go to college, get a good job. So, you know, I did some of those things. And the last time that I worked full time, I recognized like, man, you know, like this is cool, but it's not enough for me. Like I need to do more. I felt like I reached my plateau and I wanted to do more. And I felt like the only way that I could do more for myself is if I actually went into business for myself. So I started my own business back in 2015. My first business failed miserably. Then I got into my major, which was the whole content marketing piece. And the content marketing piece, you know, it related heavily to my background in mass media marketing. That's what I went to school for. And so I ran Speakereasy for a number of years. So right now, I currently am the director of an organization called the Greater West Dayton Incubator. So I work with business entrepreneurs with business incubation services. And with the Greater West Dayton Incubator, you know, I learn about all the different struggles of being a business owner in addition to being a business owner. So, you know, it was really a positive for me to be able to give back to business owners, because when I started, I had at least 6 years of business under my belt. And so, you know, here I am. I feel like it's kind of a 360. Here I am working in a job, but again, I'm starting another venture, which is the Love Your Stationery, which brings me back to my passion that I had as a child. So it's weird how life kind of just goes full circle. It wasn't something that I had expected, but I'm extremely grateful to be in a position to where I can truly cultivate my talents and to be able to give back the things that I've been able to learn in my journey of entrepreneurship.
You know, Whitney, I'm smiling because our parallels are similar in so many ways, because I'm an author as well. And like you, I love paper. I love, you know, and I, even to this day, you know, I remember when Kindles became really popular and people were getting books that way. I still prefer a physical book because I love the way they feel. I love to be able to highlight right on the paper. And when I saw your stuff on Twitter, I was like, oh, I got to get one of those notebooks. And so I totally get that. Tell me how you came to the incubator. I want to learn more about that and what kind of businesses have you seen in that space?
So it was interesting. So when I started to work in my job, it's funny because as a business owner, that previous year, I had made the most money I'd ever made in my life. So that was the first time that I had ever achieved something as a business owner. So like, you know, a lot of times people go back into work because they're like, okay, entrepreneurship wasn't for me. I went back to work because I felt like there was a greater purpose. I was serving businesses inside of my business, but I knew that if I was able to work with an organization that had a bigger platform, I could affect more people. And so I was telling a friend of mine who works inside of the Dayton ecosystem. She works for an organization called the SBDC. And, you know, she said, hey, you know, the University of Dayton has this position that's coming open and you should try to do it. She's like, it's really public facing. You know, you're really going to be in the public and you'll be with people. But I think it's going to do what it is that you wanted to do. So I just kind of put my hat in the ring to see what happened. So I went through this extensive interview process. I had like 10 people interviewing me on Zoom. This was like during the COVID time. You know, it was very intense. But at the end of the day, I was the person who was selected for the position. So I was really excited. And, you know, working through the incubator has really been transformative. And I say that because to give you some context, Dayton, Ohio, you know, it's really a city where on the west side, most of the residents are Black and brown people. Like most people are congregated on one side of the town. Literally the highway kind of separates the west side from everything else. And traditionally, these are entrepreneurs who don't have access to resources. They don't know how to, you know, create LLCs. Like Dayton is truly a city of hustlers. Like, you know, people are business minded, but they don't really create the foundation that they need to truly run and sustain a business that will bring them, you know, not just money for a quick hustle, but something that they can maintain as a lifestyle and as a legacy. So to be able to come in and work with businesses, it was truly a reality check for me. You know, I've been through the whole, you know, formal thing of going to school. Like I said, my dad was a business owner. So I've been around business my whole life, but you meet people who don't have those things. They don't have that foundation. They don't have you know, the skills to do certain things. You know, it kills me sometimes. People say, well, tell somebody to go Google something. Googling is a skill. It's truly a skill. And if you don't know how to do it, you won't yield the right answers. You won't really get the help that you need and it might feel useless. And so working with these entrepreneurs have been fantastic. Many of them own Main Street businesses. So, you know, they're owning hair salons, cleaning businesses, construction businesses, food businesses, caterers, restaurants, food trucks. We have a lot of pop-up retail spaces here where people are buying retail spaces and are putting multiple businesses under one roof so they can support one another. So it's really been a great journey here because I'm learning more about business and it allows me to advocate for businesses. A lot of people think that, you know, why can't businesses just do this or do that? Well, a lot of people don't know that the resources exist and the ones that are there, a lot of people don't know how to leverage those things either. So it's been a really great process for me to work with the business owners to not just help them, but really truly understand the needs and be able to create programming around those needs. I really was given kind of the keys to create whatever made the most sense. And that's what I'm really happy that, you know, my employer supports that. They support really making sure that entrepreneurs get what they need. They didn't come in saying, hey, you have to do it this way. They said, hey, figure out what the community needs and really create something based on that need.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And one of the things, Whitney, that you pointed out as far as people not knowing how to actually run a business is because studies show that the majority women in particular start businesses out of a need, right? It's because we need to go buy a prom dress or pay for car repairs or, you know, get a washer or whatever the case may be. So we in many cases become entrepreneurs by accident. And so now that this thing has become a quote unquote business, now we got to come up with these skills to actually operate and run a business. And that's why incubators are things that are so important. I used to work for Cheney University and ran their supportive services center, similar to what you do at Dayton. And it's the same thing, just all different kinds of businesses and really helping people to access those resources that they really need to grow their business. So much, you know, much like you being able to give back is just, you know, really even how Mommy Business became to be where we are in that 360 moment as well. So what is your 1 minute elevator pitch for Love You Stationery?
So Love Your Stationery is truly a stationery company that allows you to feel fulfilled, focused, and ultimately reach your goals. So with the stationery, it's not just something that's cute. You know, like when people see it, they're automatically drawn to it. But the goal isn't for not to be cute. It's the goal is for people to feel like they can truly do something, or to put them in that mindset of execution. I think execution is really important. And as I said earlier, writing down something is power. You know, like there's power with the pen, there's power with paper. And the more likely that you write something down, the more likely you are to actually do that thing. So my goal is just to make sure that people take their dreams out of their head and kind of put it on paper so they can go on the pavement and do what it is that they need to do.
Yes, I love that. What does being a Black female founder mean to you?
Being a Black female founder means everything to me. It's important to execute on our ideas and to know that when God gives us a vision, it's there for a reason. A lot of times, you know, and I've done this myself. I've seen friends and just people that I meet in my day-to-day interactions. A lot of Black female entrepreneurs, we question ourselves a lot. We wonder, is this right for me? Should I be doing this? And what I've come to learn is that when you are given a vision, everyone's not going to see your vision. And it's up for you to execute that particular vision. And so for me, I just feel blessed to be able to have, you know, just really operated in different lanes, just in my professional career, just with my businesses, and to be able to do things that at a time I never thought I would be able to do. So, you know, being an entrepreneur as a Black woman is freedom for me. You know, when I look at things like the pay gap and how we, you know, make so many cents on the dollar versus other races or, you know, or other genders, it truly opened my eyes to the possibility. You know, when you work for other people, yes, you know, you get paid a salary, but you know, someone kind of dictates that. But as a business owner, if you truly put in the work, and I saw it for myself, if you truly put in the work and really work at your business, you know, there's no cap on what you can do for yourself.
Yes.
So that's what excites me the most, is just that freedom of, you know, being able to make the type of money that you want to make, but not only doing that, but also doing things that you love and really pushing yourself to go beyond a limit that you may not be getting in a traditional job.
Yeah, I love that. And that no cap. And Whitney, talk a little bit about the blending. How have you been able, because we get a lot of entrepreneurs who have started a small business that are still working a 9-to-5, right? How have you been able to blend Love Your Stationery with the work that you're doing with the incubator? How have you been able to blend the two?
So I think one of the most important things is just looking at the landscape that we're in. The nature of work is changing. I just had a call yesterday with a woman locally. She's doing some work to help like all the layoffs of women who have been in tech. And, you know, one of the things that she learned was like, you know, people have these jobs, but, you know, everyone has something else going on. Like everyone has another hustle or a side business. Yep. And I think a lot of employers are more conscious of this. We're seeing a lot more flexibility. And so what I would encourage someone to do, if you know that you have to work a job while you are trying to build your business, make sure that whatever job that you are holding on to is something that is in alignment with where you're trying to go. My employer, they support me. They support my entrepreneurial activities. You know, honestly, it gives gives me more street cred when I'm working with people, because people want to hear from people who are in business.
That's so true.
Just some random person who Google told you something, you know. I can give you life experiences and not just something that I think you should be doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, my line of work and my full-time job is supportive of my entrepreneurial endeavor. So I would say that's one thing to do. Figure out what your peak hours are. I'm 32 now, but like when I first started in business, I was an early riser. Like I would get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning because nobody bothers you at that time. And that's when I'm able to get certain things done. Mm-hmm. Now I'm a late night person. So if you see, like we met on Twitter. So if you see me on Twitter late at night, chances are I'm probably working on something because that's just where my mind peaks. So you have to figure out what are your peak hours as an entrepreneur. Yeah. And then I think, you know, always make sure that you keep a goal in front of you, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if I was, and a lot of times, you know, people who are in 9-to-5s would like to eventually leave their jobs. I would say, you know, especially for me, that first time that I left my job, I told myself, hey, by this day, this is it. Like I'm ripping off the Band-Aid. So whatever happens, just happens. I have to figure it out. And so you have to give yourself that permission to have a date to leave and to leave that season of your job. And then I think it's also important, not only giving yourself permission, but make sure that you have proper planning. Like I planned, you know, when I first left my job, okay, how much money do I need to survive? What is this going to look like? At the time I was also married too, so that helped. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you really have to figure out what is it going to look like for me to sustain. And, you know, and sometimes that may be getting a part-time job. So for me, those first couple of years that I was a business owner, I actually worked part-time as an instructor for two organizations, the Ohio Media School and the International College of Broadcasting. I taught social media classes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would teach two or three classes in the daytime and then I focused the rest of my time on my business. Sometimes you have to do what you have to do just to make, until you make things work. Like for me, I stopped working in a part-time job when I had to reject business to go to work. Then I'm like, that didn't make any sense.
That's right.
So, you know, so your demand has to be higher and it has to pay more than the job. So that's when you leave. But you know, that would be my advice for people working in a 9.
That's actually when the demand meets higher than the need, then it's time to roll. That's a good measuring stick. And when I was at Cheney, it's interesting that you talked about your employer supporting you. Everybody that I worked with in my media circle at Cheney, we were all entrepreneurs. And that was the first time as an entrepreneur that I experienced that. And the support, to your point, was like, we all got it. It's like, yo, I got to go set up for this event. Someone leave early today. You know, Tanya, I got you. Or whatever, whatever the case may be, that makes all the difference in the world, having the support of your employer. And as well as you talked about the future of work and how work has really, really changed. In recent years, especially post-COVID, work has really changed.
For sure.
Yeah, it really has. And so tell us, what is your superpower?
Oh, man. My superpower is being curious. And I think it helps in so many different aspects. So like, even for me, you know, I think you and I had met on a post of mine that kind of semi went viral, so to speak. And, you know, in that post, I talked about how one day I woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning and I decided I was going to learn how to draw. And I did that, you know. So, you know, last February, I said, I'm going to learn how to draw. So I got an iPad and I practice every single day to learn how to get to where I am now. You know, so just being curious, like my brain is always curious. If people ask me a question, it'll drive me crazy if I don't know the answer. I'm going to keep going until I figure out the answer. So I think my curiosity is a superpower because it's allowed me to transcend a lot of barriers that people would face as entrepreneurs. You know, instead of me saying, oh, I don't know this and, you know, I can't do it because I don't know it, I say, hey, I don't know it, but what do I need to do to figure it out? So I think that's always been my superpower, is just being naturally curious and just wanting to know how to do something. Even if I'm not an expert in something, I at least want the basic knowledge. So if I'm able to work with someone, I can have a conversation and know what those expectations of how something should be executed.
I love that. Curiosity, superpower. That's wonderful. Last question. Other than capital, what kind of help do you need to grow your business and go from where you are to where it is that you want to be?
So for me, I think the biggest thing outside of capital. It's just more exposure to the brand. My long-term goal is, you know, of course, is to have an e-commerce store where people can purchase, but my goal is to really work with businesses who want to incorporate paper products as a part of their brands, because I think we all need it, right? You know, for example, like if I were to work with someone like a business coach, let's say I work with a business coach who specializes in working with Black women and helping, you know, Black women reach $100,000 in their business, I could make a specialized greeting card when they reach that milestone, because that's not something that you're going to find inside of the store. So my goal is just to really partner with more businesses and to help empower those businesses with personalized branded stationery that can empower their customers or their clients.
So personalized branded stationery. So for organization like ours, because that sounds like something that Mom Your Business would probably meet that criteria. Say we have our first company that goes public. Let's use that as an example. Mm-hmm. That would be something that you would be interested in branding a celebratory card for.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that idea.
Because, you know, because that's the one thing that's missing in the entrepreneurship space. Like, people, like, want to celebrate their entrepreneurial friends, but they don't know how. And then they don't know, like, what are milestones to us. So, like, for, you know, someone like me, like, my first sale could mean everything to me, but no one else may not know that. But to be able to see kind of things that entrepreneurs celebrate, I think it can give people a better sense of how they can support people in terms of celebrating the milestones. Because a lot of entrepreneurs don't have good support systems around them. And the ones that are there, they may not just know the right words or how to support, you know, what is a milestone for you. Like, I know, like, on the internet, a big thing now is like, oh my gosh, I got my LLC. Congratulations. Even though it's like the first step of business. But for some people, that's a really big deal. You know, even through our program at the incubator, like, one of the first things we did, we had something called the Business Blitz, and we funded LLCs. So people who may not have traditionally had access to funding to even go get an LLC were able to do that. And that's a big accomplishment for people.
Yes.
So, you know, we want to make sure that we're celebrating those non-traditional moments, especially for entrepreneurs.
I love that, Whitney. I was just thinking, we just had a pitch competition last weekend, and those folks that won, you know, having to be able to put the check in one of your cards, even, you know, to be able to say, hey, we won at the Mommy Business pitch competition. You know, this is what we won, and then being able to share that in that way, so other people can say, wow, you know, well, what is your business? What do you do? How can we help you? How can we support you? I think that's a tremendous idea.
Absolutely. So, you know, we just want to celebrate those moments. And that's just what I want to do. And, you know, entrepreneurs is just one element of it. But I want to celebrate the things that people don't get to celebrate.
Yes. Yes. I love that. Celebrate the things that people don't get to celebrate. Well, Whitney, tell people where they can find you, your social media handles, the website as well, and how they can learn more.
Sure. They can find me at siploveyours.com. So siploveyours will take you to learn more about the stationery. You can connect with me on LinkedIn or Instagram. My name is the same everywhere, Whitney L. Barkley. You know, I'm open to connect, and, you know, I'm one of those people where if you ask me a question, like, I'm not a gatekeeper information. I'm going to tell you where to go find the information, or if I know it, I'm going to tell you how to do it. So
yeah.
I just appreciate the opportunity and the time to speak with you today.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Whitney. I really enjoyed talking to you, and I am certainly looking forward to finding some ways to celebrate some wins. So thank you all again for listening. Always and forever, remember, now's the day. So enjoy it. Yesterday is over, so forget about it. And tomorrow is not promised, so pray about it.